We're going to talk about something that everybody knows about. And it's a very painful thing because so many people has been taken out of position, out of congregations, out of ministries. Not knowing that these things are happening to them because they've been taken by the spirit of deception. Now, there are deceptive fruits associated with deception. And these are some of the things that we want to talk about. So in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and a dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Hello. The great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast into earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Who deceives the whole world. That's his main focus. Is deception. Remember, we talked about this before. Satan's greatest weapon is deception. There are deceptive fruits. Now, I have seen so many people get taken out by the Spirit right in front of my eyes. Their whole countenance changed. Their perception of something changed. I've lost many, many people. And they actually believed they were doing things correctly. You know, Saul thought that too. Saul thought he was killing people and imprisoning people for God. But he was deceived by the spirit of deception. The devil deceives. Well, what's one of the fruits of deception? Blindness. Blindness. It blinds you. Deceives the whole world. In other words, the great dragon, the serpent of old, the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world operates, or the operation of the world. He's involved in all the operations of the world and his whole, and he manipulates people by deception because they don't see him or understand that they've been taken captive. And again, we know that it's the greatest weapon. What we're seeing right now globally is a lot of deception being removed. Amen? But there's still people who are fighting to the death to prove their point, to enforce their will on God, and they don't even know it. Hallelujah. You know, I had and I'm sure you've heard of this already. When I first got saved, I was taken multiple times in dreams and visions and brought to places, to the Lord's Last Supper and all kinds of stuff. I saw the Lord's return. And we were in this room right here. And in this room, there was bunk beds of children. And the people that were working for us were helping. And I used to stash money outside, something that was, you know, a habit of the old. I used to put in $1,000 packs, and I'd stash them all over, bury them, and whatever. So I went to my wife, because I know we needed some stuff. And for some reason, I needed money to buy a motorcycle, and I don't know why, but anyways. So I went out in the yard, digged up a couple paint cans that I used to put the money in and stuff like that. And brought it in, and the next thing I know, the people that were working for us totally became another person. And they had black underneath their eyes, would turn black. Their countenance changed. They had squiggly black knives. totally turned on us. And they weren't coming after us, but they were coming after our children, all the children that were in the bunk beds. And they were walking around. And I kept going because they were trying to kill them. I kept running in front of them and turning the knives on them. And they were going out this back door, which was a double door. And Satan was standing outside, slicing their throats and piling them up because they did not fulfill his will. And I was running like crazy trying to, because there was four or five people that were working with us in this room, and they were trying to kill the children. And I kept getting in front of the children, turning them and stabbing them in their gut, and they would walk out, and Satan would slice their throats and pile them up. And the next thing I know, this whole place started spinning. Remember the Wizard of Oz? When man, this whole place started spinning. I'm like, whoa! And I it was kind of like hard to control anything. It was spinning so fast. And all of a sudden, this light ripped through everything. There wasn't anything that could hold, no wood, no building, no nothing could hold this light. And it ripped through everything. And I knew it was the Lord's return. And the next thing I looked, and all the children were in bed sleeping. And I woke up. And I said, "Have you seen that? What's going on?" He just said, "What?" Said, "Oh, it was a dream." But it was so alive to me. I remember it so vividly. And what happened to those people? They were taken by the spirit of deception. Incredible to me. And it was again, it was an end time prophetic insight for me when I saw the Lord's return. I mean, light ripped through everything, and I know that the Lord returned. Oh, there was this big explosion also. I forgot about that. Boom! And I ran. After the light came and everything, then this big explosion. I ran to the window, and I'm looking out the window, and I'm saying to my wife, "Did you hear that? Did you see that?" Lord said, "I showed you my return and a sequence of it." In other words, I know that all of these things that are going on right now that has happened to us in this ministry is because the Lord's getting ready to return. And deception is harmful, so harmful. I've had so many people lost. I've sat in front of people and tried to, and you couldn't convince them. You couldn't even talk to them because that spirit puts that veil right over them. It was very harmful. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but with manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, which is the message of truth, if it's blinded to people, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Whose minds or thoughts the God of this age has blinded or manipulated or twisted, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The God of this age blinds the minds or the thoughts so they don't see or understand." None of these people knew that they were in deception because they were blinded. No matter what you said to them, no matter how you tried to explain to them, whatever, they could not receive it. One of the things, again, when a person is in that deceptive state, they try to force God's will. not even knowing it. It's not God's will. They become blinded to themselves. That's why they always say, well, how come I don't see it, but everybody else does? Well, hello? The reason you don't see is because you're taken captive. You're blinded, but everybody else sees it. Does everybody understand it? Because you cannot see your own stuff. That spirit will prevent you from seeing it, and you'll believe that you're doing the right thing. You'll believe that it's God's will. It's everybody else. Does everybody get this? Because we see it a lot. See, they may know the word, but they do not abide in it. Why? Because deception births spiritual blindness. Deception births spiritual blindness. It enslaves individuals. They can't see beyond themselves. Everything is about themselves. This deception prevents true abiding. There isn't a true abiding. There's not a true relationship. It's artificial. John 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Remember, deception prevents true abiding. It prevents that true abiding, that true relationship. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you cannot do anything. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Do you understand? Look it. So if you're truly in abiding, then whatever you ask, you know is going to come. It might not come according to your way. It might not come according to your time, but it's going to come. I remember one day I kept praying, Lord, we need a van. We need a, in fact, I'm going to be a little specific. Lord, I'd like a red van. And I'm telling you, a red van came down the street. It was my sign. And I went to the place where they were selling that van, and I bought it. Number 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Wow. Remember, deception prevents true abiding. Why? Because people don't even know it. They have an artificial relationship. And it doesn't mean that they're not spirit-filled. It doesn't mean that they're not praying in tongues. All of these things are available to anyone who's an offspring of Christ. But they're still abiding in a place and taken captive in deception. That spirit is still stealing from them. What does the devil do? Come steal, kill, and what? Destroy. You know, and we have fought for people to get freed from this, some people for years, and they never did, and are still walking out there. They've left this house. Oh, they were going to serve here forever. They give their life for here, but they were trying to force their will. Why? Because of deception. They could not see. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 6. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves as whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are what? Disqualified. But I trust that you know that we are not disqualified. Wow. Self-examination is not truly possible with deception, with this blindness. They can't truly examine themselves. They say they do, they try to, but they can't. Why? Because they realize they've been taken by deceptive. But what's deception do? Blind you. Why does everyone, you know, and again, they fight what they really believe for. But it's wrong. Why is it the enemy twist things? Is everybody okay? Self-examination is not truly possible because deception can see it. Blindness does not see its blindness, and that's why others see it, but you don't. Hallelujah. How come nobody, I don't hear, everybody's saying something, but you don't see it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Can they really work it out with fear and trembling? No. Because the reverence and honor and respect towards God is not fully there. Remember, this is a relationship that's artificial. It's not fully. Even though they pray in tongues, even though they're worshipers, even though they quote scripture, they can't break through to get into that place until that spirit of deception is removed and light has taken over. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without what? Complaining and disputing, or grumbling and complaining. They grumble and complain a lot. Why? Because they're deceived. They're still fighting for themselves. That you may become blindness and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yet, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Wow. Deception promotes anxiousness. It promotes what? Anxiousness. It promotes grumbling and complaining and promotes self-will. When a person is taken captive in deception. Why? Because they're blinded. And I'm not saying they're blinded to everything, but they're blinded. They can't really truly self-examine. Sometimes people get in this place where they believe everybody's against them. But nobody's against them. Because they always twist and turn things around. That spirit is strong. That spirit ain't stupid. He knows how to keep an individual in a life of captivity. And sometimes these people stay in a life of captivity all the way till they die. And I'm not saying they're going to hell. But what a way to live. Never fulfilling and being free. Ephesians 4:17. And this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their what? Their minds and their thoughts. Why? Because they're blinded. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ or the anointing. If indeed you have heard from him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off what? Concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Lust is associated with desire, wants. And being renewed in the spirit of your mind or your thoughts. And that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Deception. When a person is taken captive, they are unable to control the old man. They can't control the old man. The old man is always taking first position, first place in their lives. They're unstable, outbursts. It's kind of like a baby Huey syndrome. Grumble and complain. Me, 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 me. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature. Hello, that means able to receive, able to interpret. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rules of this age who have come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would have crucified, hallelujah, they would not have crucified him, would they? But it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of a man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Why? Because deception is preventing these things. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So the Spirit of God is the only one that can break through. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, if you let him. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. These things we what? Also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord or the thoughts of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. They are unable to reach a full spiritual discernment, a level of full spiritual discernment where they can discern. They can't discern on themselves and they can't discern on others. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because that spirit of deception, they cannot discern. Everything is still carnal to them. Deuteronomy 16, verse 18. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, according to your tribes. Now God speaking to Moses. And they shall judge the people with just judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. Now listen, people don't realize when they're in deception, they are always bribed by spirits. They're bribed. Everybody get that? How are they bribed? Well, they're made giving false promises. They get bribed. You shall follow what is altogether just that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, again, the deception compromises and causes bribes, then blinds the eyes of the wise. When you agree with the enemy, it's promoting a bribe. And it not only blinds, but it twists the words, twists things in your mind. So did you actually believe what the enemy is telling you? I've seen so many people walk out of God's will, not realizing they were forcing their own will. Because they took the bribe from the enemy. And it twists the thoughts. This is so, so, it's heartbreaking, but it is so powerful that we understand how powerful the spirit of deception is. It's very powerful. That's what's controlling the whole world. It's controlling all the political, judicial, everything. It's controlling everything. That's the spirit of deception. And really, what is the spirit of deception? Prince of power of air. I mean, we've all fallen into a place where, man, we believed what we believed, something was so true. I mean, you would have bet your life on it. Then you found out you were wrong. But you see how deep a person can get caught up in that. And they get caught up in it in multiple things all the time. Because that spirit of deception is still controlling the old man. It's preventing the new man from really rising up of its true level of discernment. Isn't that where the devil wants us to be? Stuck in slavery? Proverbs 23, verses 1. When you sit down and eat with someone, authority, or ruler, consider carefully what is before you and put a knife to your throat if you're a man given to appetite. In other words, you receive any kind of bribe. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are what? Deceptive food, deceptive words, deceptive promises. Do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Do not eat bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. Again, deceptive foods are words of deception. Always bringing to self, causing a bribe. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Think about how many times people have gotten in debt. They've allowed their desires to manipulate for the things they didn't need or they thought they needed. And they couldn't wait on God, and then they went and forced God's will. But it wasn't God's will anyways. And people got in debt. People married the wrong person, this, that, whatever. And the recourse that follows. There's definite recourse that follows deception. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Let's speak it. This is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, or now what is darkness? Deception. We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Wow. That's the message, isn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Praise God. And we'll close up Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law or my word or my promises and my covenant, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. So does the enemy know this? Yeah, so he wants to prevent it, doesn't he? He wants to not allow you to abide in the word or get close enough to God. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding or emotions or feelings or desires. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. So many get offended. Those that have been taken captive by the Spirit are easily offended. Very easily offended. Why? Because that spirit of deception prevents it. They cannot accept the correction. They're always trying to defend themselves, why they do what they do, instead of submitting and saying, you know what? And it's not about being right or wrong, but there is a place of right and wrong. There's a place of righteousness and unrighteousness. There's a spirit of deception and stupidity. Amen? There's a place. And we have to be awake and aware and spiritually discerning in everything we're doing now. Because that spirit of deception is strong. And it's everywhere. And anywhere you go, it's always trying to pick you up. It's trying to jump on you. It's trying to get it. It causes that compromise. It tries to get you to bribe. Tries to get you to touch and agree. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being wrong if you admit it. Amen? Okay. Then you just broke off that spirit. If you stay there and try and convince others that you're still right when you know you're wrong and don't repent, that spirit's going to take more than just that one part. This spirit is dangerous. It's evil, it's wicked, and it comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's doing a very good job. Very good job. And we've got to combat it. We've got to pray against it. We got to bind it, blind it, mute it, deaf it, and cast it out. But you better be backed by the anointing when you're fighting the spirit. Because if you're not backed by the anointing and in line, that spirit ain't budging. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we ask for your guidance, Lord. Help us to discern the spirit so that we may overcome every area and anywhere that we have been taken captive in any way, Lord. Deliver us. Deliver us from this spirit so that we can see the fruits of the spirit and not the fruits of the deceptive spirits. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for bringing light and truth into every area of our life. And thank you for deliverance and healing in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.